Okay, tonight we're going to cover another, what we're calling a controversial topic. And at the beginning of the year, I passed out a paper and had people write different things down they might be interested in talking about. And one of them, I'm kind of joining a couple of these together for tonight. One of them was about Rob Bell and John Crowder, and then another one called The Prosperity Gospel, Joseph, Prince, and Others. So, kind of grouping all that together. Why don't we pray together? And we'll try to leave this, you know, as interactive as we can. And I'll kind of tell you the approach I want to take tonight on this. But if you have questions or comments, you know, this is somewhat interactive because it's supposed to be a discussion about controversial topics. So, Father, I just pray tonight you give us a heart that is intent upon seeking your word. Father, we know your word is truth. And we know that your word is alive and dynamic. And Lord, we know that your spirit is the one who teaches us and preserves us, Lord. So I pray tonight as we talk about this topic that you'd give us the right attitude and the right heart and the right commitment to help us be preserved from false doctrine that falls upon the earth so pervasively in our day, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, first of all, you know, I thought I would start off with a couple of scriptures, and, you know, I want to say to you, any kind of a discussion like this, you know, you're always assuming that everything you say is right, and we're not, that is not where, you know, where we are. My heart is, we're all in a growth process. And, you know, you can read books about everything under the sun. I mean, there's, you'll find books that teach, for example, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is of the devil. And these are written by Christian people. You know, you'll read books that talk about, well, like Rob Bell's book, that there, you know, everybody will be saved in the end. You know, Christian man writing a book. You know, I've listened to some of his interviews. You know, he's somehow come to this conclusion, and you know, I believe it's really in error in terms of what the Bible has to say, but. Yet he's a man who, you know, says he wants to follow God. And, you know, the question you got to ask yourself is how do you sort through all the different opinions, writings, perspectives, comments? How do you know what's right? Where do we find common sense? Does anybody know? It's got to be the scriptures, right? Because how many of you know there are no infallible teachers? And there are no infallible authors. And one man who may be an expert in one area doesn't mean he's automatically an expert in every area. And what I thought the approach I could take, because you know, it's kind of like that story they talk about, you know, in the FBI, I think it is, they say, when they're trying to teach people about counterfeit money, he said, what they do normally is they get people to focus on a real dollar bill. Because if you know the real dollar bill, inside and out, you can just look at it, any counterfeit that comes your way is a red flag. But if you focus all your attention on all the potential red flags, that's a lifetime. And how you know you even got them all. So, you know, I'm just going to make a disclaimer here. I haven't read all these books. I've read some of some of Rob Bell's book, and I've listened to some of John Crowder's teaching just in anticipation of this class. And I'm pretty familiar with the prosperity teaching. But in reality, my focus is on what does the Word of God say? That's where I give my attention. I want to know what Jesus has to say. Because if I can somehow, through God's word, understand God's heart, then if I hear something over here that seems a little bit weird or contrary, I can say, well, hey, wait a minute. You know, 80% of what you're saying sounds pretty good, but there's this little bit over here that sounds contrary to what Jesus was saying. And then that keeps us in a safe territory. So, again, my heart tonight as I share this stuff is maybe more or less, let's look at the, how do we keep ourselves in a safe position as men and women of God? I'm not here to tear anybody else down. Other than to say, you know, at the outset, I mean, Rob Bell's book is totally, that one is really an error, you know, because it is essentially saying that there is no eternal judgment. Now, to me, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 6 for a minute. And I'm sharing this scripture because I think you'll see why we have an emphasis on learning the basics. You know, we talk about the basic doctrines, understanding the basic teachings, because a lot of times it's the basic doctrines that are under attack. So in chapter 5, he talks about he was trying to share with these people about a heavier truth, you know, a deeper truth about this Melchizedek. And he said in verse 11, we have a lot to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. You know, he was wanting to tell them some deeper truth, but he said, look, you guys just aren't ready for it yet. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. So, you know, Paul the Apostle understood the importance of foundational teaching, what he calls the elementary truths, and these things really need to be in your life so that you can learn the deeper things. He says, you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So solid food is for who? The mature. And this is people who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You know, so I just want to encourage you as men and women of God to just give yourself to the Word of God. Get this kind of training in your life so you can learn to discern good from evil. Get these foundations in your life and then move on to maturity. I tell you, there's not a person who's mature in Christ that's going to be pushed away by some of these writings. Because you'll see them for what they are. And it's not that you're going to get an attitude like I'm better than you. It's not that at all. It's like you are simply looking at it, comparing it to the truth of God's word, which is eternal and is right about all things. And you can honestly say, this isn't right. And some of these basic doctrines, he says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. You see, eternal judgment is a foundational doctrine. Rob Bell's book goes against this foundational doctrine. If you just study the concept of eternal judgment in the Bible and lay it side by side with Rob Bell's book, you'll see it filled with error. And the problem is that the way he writes his book, he's asking these questions. Well, doesn't it make sense that God would be more of a loving God than a, you know what I mean? And it's almost like this deceptive way that Satan even came to Adam and Eve. Did God really say, is this really what he meant? I mean, why would God tell you this? That kind of thing. He did the same thing with Jesus. If you're the Son of God, why don't you do this? And the way that book is written is to me almost like a tactic to pull down our defenses. So I just really encourage you, if you've read the book and you're wondering, just first of all, do a study on the basic foundation called eternal judgment, and then read the book again. And I think you'll be able to see clearly that he's way off in left field on that book. It doesn't change the fact that God loves people. Love does win. But love wins because of Jesus Christ coming to the cross to die. And love does win because of the salvation he gave to mankind. Love does win because he gave an offer to every sinful person on the planet, a way of escape, a way of eternal life. But there's also judgment. I mean, Ted just talked about the judgment in Noah's day. 2 Peter tells us there will be another judgment coming in the end, which will be a judgment by fire. The Bible talks about the lake of fire, that anybody who's a liar will be in the lake of fire. Not just Satan and his fallen angels, but human beings. And these are just clear teachings of Jesus that you have to basically throw out to embrace some of the things he writes in that book. Now you might say, well, some of the things he writes in that book are true. I agree. But, you know, they say that rat poisoning is like 98% wheat and just a little bit of poison. Doesn't take that much to destroy it. You know, it's just one of those things where you've got to be careful that the things that you ingest, you begin to believe. And if you're reading it, make sure you're reading it having first read this. So you can understand and focus there. Like I say, I honestly don't have a big interest in all this. I mean, I know it's probably one that I should have a little bit more a focus on, just because I know it's a big book in the world today. But you know, there's just so many that are out there. It's kind of like, where do you spend your time? I want to know Jesus. You know, I can spend my whole life reading someone else's opinion, but I want to know, Lord, what does your truth say? And then when these things come up, we can address them. So, you know, with John Crowder, you know, with him, I've listened to some of his tapes and you know, watched some of his videos. I think to me, you know, probably the biggest thing there is they've taken things that are holy and made them an unholy thing. You know, they're taking things of the Holy Spirit and making it seem like it's a drug addiction terminology and things like that. And
who is John Crowder?
I don't know. You have to look him up on the internet. Oh. He's got a ministry that's out there, and you know, some of the teachings about grace seem to be ones that lead us to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, like Paul the Apostle said we shouldn't do. Yeah, when sin abounds, grace abounds, but that's never a license to sin. You know, so again, you can hear the teaching say, yeah, God's grace is abundant. I mean, there's no, you know, God's grace far above any sin. But yet when that's turned around to where the people who walk in that can say, well, I can just go ahead and continue in sin because God's grace is going to cover me, that's just it takes it to the place that God's word never intended. And so you just got to be able to discern that, you know, and those who are mature can distinguish good from evil. When you can read this stuff, and even though it may sound good, you can see through it and stay on safe ground. So that's really my focus tonight. I don't want to talk about necessarily all these different teachings. I want to talk about how do we stay on safe ground. And this way, whether it's a John Crowder, a Mormon, a Jehovah Witness, you know, a Rob Bell, or a Kirk Martin who preaches something wrong from the pulpit at Alliance Christian Center, you're going to hear it, and you're going to know it, and you're going to be able to discern it. Okay? Let's look at 2 Timothy 2. So first of all, I think it's important for you all to remember this. When you're looking at other books or writings or doctrines that are out there and how you address them, remember there are certain doctrines that are not essential. I mean, you know, if somebody has a teaching about, you know, they baptize infants, well, you may disagree with that, but it's not like it's the end of the world. If somebody comes around and they start teaching a different way of salvation, that's critical. You know, that's a critical thing. You know, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't address them, but I just want you to realize there are different degrees of error. Some are just a people's opinion on things that really aren't that essential. Other ones undermine the foundation of our faith. And if we're gonna be addressing those, I mean, that's where our focus should be. And again, we can teach the other things from time to time, but I think our approach is different. Because we talk here about, you know, what about somebody that, you know, who doesn't believe in tongues for today? Well, you know, we can still fellowship with that person. You know, I mean, we see it differently, and they see it differently, but that's not undermining the foundation of the faith. And so how you might talk to that person is different than a person that's going to come and say, you know, there are many ways to God, for example. So realize there's that, a little bit of that, I guess, degree of severity. And then there's also what he calls here foolish questions. Look at 2 Timothy 2. And I'll read verse 22. Flee the evil desires of youth, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. Now, people are going to come to you with stupid questions. You know what? Don't even give them the time of day. It's just not worth it. It's just, we sit there and argue about something that produces nothing but quarrels. And so the Bible tells us here there are certain things we just avoid. It's sometimes funny how we as Christians like to get wrapped up in these arguments, and some of them are just crazy. So again, it's like, what does the Bible say? Let's just stick there. And if you want to argue about, you know, some, you know, inconsequential thing, I mean, you're going to have to find somebody else, because I don't have time for it. You know, I don't know what to say. Jesus said this, and I'm going to read some of these. If you want to turn there, you can. If you want to just write them down. But in Matthew 24, verses 1 through 4, when Jesus was walking with his disciples, and he said, he was looking at the temple buildings, and he said, all these stones will come down. They said, well, Lord, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Here was Jesus' first answer. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And you know what his answer was? Watch out that no one deceives you. So this tells me that in the last days, this deception is going to increase. You know, and we're living in those days, I believe. We're living in the last days. So it's not a surprise to me that deception should also be on the increase. And that's even more of a responsibility for us as men and women of God to say, well, how can I identify it? How do I avoid it? How do I keep myself in this place of safety? Because Jesus said, watch out that no one deceives you. And so I want to listen to what he says. He knows. He's the master. He tells us this is what it's going to be like. And so for me, watch out. And that's what I'm talking about this evening. How do we keep ourselves in safety? In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 5, it says this: the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, now we're talking about the last days again, in the latter times, some will abandon the faith. So the Bible talks about not only deceivers in the last days, but it also says in the last days, people will actually begin to abandon the faith. In other words, they had it, and they turned away from it. And he goes on to say, they will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So, you know, behind some of this teaching is actually demonic spirits. They will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And you're going to see that. You're going to probably see people that you know who hold the faith abandon the faith. The Bible warns us about this. This is what the Spirit clearly says this in the last days. So we should take this as a warning and a serious note from him to get to know God's Word. Because the only way I can avoid deception is to know the truth. And to believe the truth. Because, I mean, Adam and Eve knew the truth, and they still allowed themselves to be duped. And in verse 2 it says, such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. And he talks about some of the things they'll teach. They'll forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving because it's consecrated by the word of God and prayer. You see, what he was talking about here is these people focus on some area that somehow doesn't embrace all of Scripture. You know, abstain from this, do this, don't do that. And yet he says, the Scripture says, hey, this is all good to be eaten as long as you do it with prayer. Somehow they left aside certain Scripture to focus on something else. He said, these people are hypocritical liars. Their consciences are seared. In Acts 20, verse 26, he tells us, this is a writing to the elders. He's writing to the elders of the Ephesus church. And Paul says, I declare to you today, I'm innocent from the blood of any of you. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. So when he's writing to the leaders here, what's he saying? Keep watch over what? Yourself. Why is that? Well, we just read about up above there, some of this false teaching comes from hypocritical liars. It comes from people whose consciences are seared. These are character flaws. These are men who've allowed their minds to go in a certain place. They were maybe not a place of accountability, or maybe there was just a rebellion against God, but somehow their souls and their consciences and their minds are beginning to be affected, and it affects their teaching. And so he's telling us here, keep watch over yourself. It's important that leaders in the church are really men who keep watch over themselves, who watch their mind, who watch their conscience, who keep a soft heart before the Lord so that if there's sin in their life, they can repent and walk away from it, that their ear is open to other people to bring judgment to their life, to bring correction to their life, because none of us are beyond the point of sin or having issues in our life. And if we ever raise up in a place where we are not open to hearing the correction of other people, we're heading down the path of having a seared conscience. And so he's warning these elders. He said, hey, you got to keep watch over yourself and the flock. And he says, be shepherds of the church of God, which he's bought with his own blood. You got to realize that our responsibility as the leaders of the church, elders of the church, is that, hey, these people have been purchased with the blood of Christ. They belong to Jesus. They don't belong to you. They don't belong to the elders. It's Jesus's. And we have a responsibility to care for them. And he says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you, and they will not spare the flock. And then look at this. This is crazy. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So where does deception come from? Well, he says it comes from without. Savage wolves will come in, it says. But it also says even from your own number, men can arise. So that's why it's important that even among the leaders, there's just a relationship and an accountability and a care and a love that grows so that, you know, if somebody starts getting out of whack somewhere, you know, somebody can say something. So be on your guard. You see that word there is again, be on your guard. And I commit you to God and what else? The word of his grace, which can build you up. And so we're looking at where does deception come from? It comes from watch out, no one deceives you. We talk about people who come with deceiving spirits, things taught by demons, hypocritical liars. We talk about wolves coming from without, men rising up from within. And these are all areas we got to watch out for because we're living in the last days. 2 Peter chapter 2 says, there were false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. I'm reading 2 Peter 2, verse 1 through 3. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies. See that? Secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct. You say, now how can that be? How can it be that somebody could come in with destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord, and many follow their depraved conduct? How can that be? Because they don't know the word. They're following a leader instead of Christ. They're following a personality instead of the Savior. We are called to be followers of Jesus Christ. And if anybody is saying, follow me, it should be always followed with, follow me as I follow Christ. When we lead people to Christ, when we try to encourage people to walk with him, we're saying, hey, he's the Lord. Follow him. Most of us are saying to follow him, not as I follow him. You know, do a better job than me. Go beyond me. But follow Jesus. These are called people with a depraved conduct, and they will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you. So there's motives here. He's talking about greed. They will exploit you with fabricated stories. You're just making up stories, you know, just to somehow get your attention. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. I mean, these kinds of warnings are throughout the Scripture. And it constantly amazes me that people can be duped into following this. But it's because we're not being discerning. It's because we're not being mature, like he calls us to be mature. We're not really sifting these things through the Scripture. And we find ourselves just running headlong, following something that's destructive. Okay? So I gave you kind of the background, but let's talk about what are some factors to keep us safe. Number one, stay in submission to good leaders who are men of integrity. Now, people in the world today, the word submission, people don't like it. It's a Bible word. And it's not a bad word. What it means is that God has set up a structure of accountability, and that when we respond to that structure of accountability, we're really responding to his lordship. That's what it really means. Now, you might say, now after hearing these scriptures, I don't want to submit to any leaders. Well, that's not what the Bible's saying. He said, watch over yourself and the flock. So there is a responsibility, but it's with good leaders. So look at what it says here in 2 Timothy 3. I want you to know that, I mean, I'm not saying it's from this scripture. It's actually in Jeremiah. I think it's either Jeremiah or Ezekiel. I can't remember now. The Lord talks about how he cares for his flock. He loves his flock. And if there are shepherds who are not caring for the flock, he can remove them. You know, there are no indispensable leaders in the body of Christ. If someone's not doing the right thing, the Lord can remove them and his church will carry on. But God has called us to have godly leaders. And this is a great scripture here because there's a lot of good things. I think this scripture, if you can kind of mark this as a kind of a foundational concept of what I'm talking about tonight, it kind of draws a good guideline around several areas. So he says in here, as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. All right? So let's talk about this for a minute. So he's saying, Timothy, you've learned some things. Now, when you read through the whole book of 1 and 2 Timothy, you know that Timothy also learned from who else? His mother, his grandmother, and he's also known the scripture since he was a child, right? And there was also the teaching from the Apostle Paul. So I'm sure he's drawing upon all that. He's saying, as for you, continue in what you've learned. You've learned some things, and these are solid, and they're a good foundation in your life, and you know the scripture. So he says, hang on to these things. But he also says, continue what you've learned, and what's the next thing? And have become convinced of. How do you become convinced of something? Well, because I read it in a book. Or because Rayo said it was so. What is it? How do you become convinced of something? You remember Acts 17, the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. Why? Because they searched the scriptures to see if the things that Paul was saying were in fact true. So what Paul's telling Timothy, hey, you've learned some things and you've been convinced of some things, and that's good. And I hope that your convincing that comes into your life is because of the things you've learned and you've sifted them through the Word of God. So you've learned and you're convinced of it. And the other side of that is what? Because you know those from whom you learned it. Why do you think that's important? Any ideas on why do you think it's important to know those from whom you've learned it?
You see their lives. You see their character. Walk it out.
Right. You see their life. You see their character. You know, you see how they live.
You see if they believe it.
You see if they believe it. I think my battery's dead. Sorry, I'm going to turn this off. None of us know these authors of these books. None of us know. How many here know John Crowder? I mean, we just don't know him, you know. Mm. You may know something by, you know, maybe you've seen a video, or maybe you do know him personally. I don't know, but most of us don't. But it's good to know people that you're learning from. It's why God puts us into families. It's why he puts us into local churches. I mean, there's responsibility and accountability and love and care. And we're learning from people that we can look at and say, you know, how are these guys living out their life? And for whatever reason, Paul is telling Timothy that knowing is one of the things that helps to bring a security. I mean, we talked about these leaders back in above there. They were the foolish ones, the depraved minds, you know, the greed, all this exploiting the people. And the other side was, take heed to yourself, watch yourself and the flock. So Paul says, get to know those people that are teaching you. Get to know their life. And then what's the other thing he adds here in verse 15? How from infancy you've known the scripture. So to me, there's three really good things here that keep us in safety. One is know the scripture. Number two is continue in the things that you've learned and have become convinced of. You know, so you're also searching it out. I see it's in the scripture. I'm not just believing it because somebody told me. I see it. And you know those from whom you've learned it. Get to know your leaders. Talk to them. You know, invite them out for pizza. See, I just want to get to know, like, you know, you're sitting here, you just listen to Rayo every week. I'd like to get to know this guy. What's he all about? Anything with buffet on it. So I believe that there is a valid principle on being committed to a local church and being in submission to leaders of integrity. And if there are because there again, if you come up with a book and you say, "Hey, I'm reading this thing, I'm not really sure about it," you know what the best thing to do is take it to somebody and have them look at it. But it's somebody you know, somebody you trust, somebody you've heard their teaching, you know their life, and they, you know, you can put some stock in the things that they're sharing with you. Because, you know, again, they're not here to give their opinion. They're here to say what the Word of God says. A second thing you can do is to search the Scripture, and that's in Acts 17:11. Yeah.
Just back on that scripture, if you go back up to verse 13.
Okay.
It gives a nice comparison. I'm reading from the Amplified. But
wicked, why don't you read it? Yeah.
And imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and leading astray others and being deceived and led astray themselves. But as for you, and
right.
So he's showing them, hey, look, this stuff is happening all around you, but you
right.
don't have to worry about it.
Right.
If you do these things.
Right.
And to me, I see him giving Timothy real comfort. Like, look.
Good point.
You don't have to worry about it.
Anytime there's a but in there, it's a transition word. Remember that? So what's in front of it? It's a good point. So search the scriptures. And I just commented on that. So let me just say this to you. When you read and listen to other things, be critical. When I say, you know what I mean by the word critical? I don't mean like being nasty critical. I mean to be thoughtful. Do clear analysis. I read this book. There was all these nice things in there. But, you know, they said these things that were against the scripture. It's okay to make that kind of analysis. You can read a book. You know, one guy used to talk about, he described it this way, eat the meat and spit out the bones. You know, you're going to find a book. And there's maybe a lot of good stuff in there, but there's some bones. Just spit the bone. Just like when you eat chicken. If you got a chicken leg, you don't eat the whole thing. You know, you eat the meat and you spit the bones. And so you're going to find in some books, there's good meat. And there's some good bones. And you've got to be able to say, okay, these things I like and I can ingest and it's good because it lines up with God's word, but there's a few bones here. Doesn't make it useless. It just says, hey, I've been able to discern that. I'm walking in with some maturity and some wisdom, and I can say that. I can say that this part here is not good. All right? The next thing you need to add, how to keep yourself safe. And I hope I'm preaching to the choir here, but we've got to come to the place where in our heart, our heart of hearts, we are convinced that only His Word is true. I mean, in terms of where is truth found? It's in God's Word. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 through 9, it says, if we or an angel from heaven, you know, preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be under God's curse. Yeah, but an angel from heaven told me this. I'm sorry. If an angel from heaven told you something different than what's here, let him be accursed. And that's where you've got to be able to stand. And so how many of you know that some of these books that are out there really don't hold a candle to an angel from heaven? If they're saying something different from God's word, then we've got to lay that aside and say it doesn't line up. And not be afraid to make, and again, you're not being the judge of the world. What you're doing is you're saying, Lord, I am yielded to the truth of your word, and I see this which doesn't line up, so I can lay it aside. And not feel like I'm condemning anybody. I'm not like the doctrine police or anything. I'm just saying I want to be a person like the Bereans who can search out the scripture and make sure the things that I'm holding to are found there. So that's what I mean by reading with a critical eye, is you're just, you know, you're looking. Is this biblical? Is it right? Is what he's saying lining up with the word of God? Because only his word is true. And if we or an angel from heaven preaches anything else, let them be accursed. You know that Joseph Smith would have done himself a favor. I don't know if an angel actually came to him or not, but if he did, he would have done himself a favor by just staying with this one verse. I'm sorry, Moroni. What you're telling me is not what I've already received. I cannot take this. And it would have been over with. But see, we get in. The thing is that this kind of stuff is so enticing to people. It's an angel from heaven. It was a move of the Spirit. It was a grand and glorious event. It was a miracle. You should have seen these things that were happening. Well, so what? Satan is able to be an angel of light. What's that tell you? So while these things may be cool and interesting and wow, look at all the happenings around here, you can't be like a bull with a ring in your nose being pulled down a road of bad doctrine. You got to say, hey, how does this line up with the Word of God? And be able to keep your feet on solid ground. So only his word is true. Another one. Line up your experiences with Scripture and a multitude of counsel. I love this. It shows you the humility of people that keeps them in a place of safety. It says this is in Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. After 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. This is Paul writing. I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders. I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. Listen to this. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. That to me is an awesome scripture showing the heart of the Apostle Paul, saying, you know, because he was preaching a message that had the Gentile world up in arms. You alluded to that a little bit tonight. He was preaching a message of salvation that basically said, we don't need the law. We don't need to be circumcised. We don't need to follow these things. It's God's grace through faith. And it was really a revolutionary message. And he said, I went up there to Jerusalem. I wanted to share what I was learning with these guys. I want to make sure I'm not running in vain. And obviously they recognized the grace of God that had been given to him. But it shows a man of integrity and humility. To me, some of these guys that are out there, you know, throwing out these doctrines, they should run them through some other leaders. You know, I bet you if a guy like Rob Bell would have sat down with 4, 5, 8 other leaders and said, hey, here's this book. What do you think? Tell me what you think. And gotten some input from other people, maybe he never would have wrote it. I don't know. you know, if a guy like John Crowder, I don't know the man, so I can't speak, so I don't even want to say it, but any one of us, if we're unwilling to sit down with other people and say, hey, you know, I'm seeing something here and I'm wondering what you think about it, there's nothing wrong with that. It's kind of a safety measure. It's being able to sit down as men of God, men who have different perspectives on the Word, who've learned the Word, who have a good foundation to say, hey, here's what I'm seeing. What do you think of this? You know, one of the brothers in the church is wanting to write a book, and he said, I'm writing this book. I have some, it's Lonnie. You know, he said, I have some chapter here I'm writing, and I'm not really sure about it. Would you read it? You know, and I gave it a copy to Ray, and I read a copy of it. And to me, that just showed wisdom on his part. And it's not that we have all the answers, but he's basically saying, hey, I want to run this by a couple of other people just to make sure that I'm tracking in the Word of God. And to me, that's a beautiful thing and a wise thing. And nothing wrong with that in the body of Christ. And it is a place for safety. All right. I'll close with a couple of comments on who is susceptible to false doctrine. And I'm in 2 Timothy 4 again. And he says here in verse 2, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. 4, the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. So listen, who's susceptible to deception? People who don't want to put up with sound doctrine. The next it says, instead to suit their own desires. So what they're putting above sound doctrine is their own desire. Their desire is kind of ruling supreme here. It's what I want. It's what I want to hear. It's what I want to do. What does the Word of God say? And our desires need to be subservient to that. But these people have their own desires. What they're doing is it says they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And I don't care what it is. If you want to believe it, there's probably somebody out there that's teaching it. And you can search long enough, and we have the internet, so you can see stuff from all over the world. You could probably go in there and type in anything, and you're going to find a PDF file or a video or a book or a tape or something that somebody's teaching this thing. But what it is people are saying, I don't need sound doctrine. I don't want sound doctrine. I don't want to hear what God's Word says. I have these things in my own heart, and I want to hear somebody that's going to agree with what I think. Right. And there are some things that are hard to hear from the Word of God. That's what he just said here, isn't it? What did he say? Preach the word, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage. You know, two out of the three things are corrective. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction, for people don't want to put up a sound doctrine. You know, it's to me, when we start seeing the Church of Jesus Christ push back at sound doctrine, because their own desires are being affected, you know, we're setting ourselves up for these deceptions Jesus talked about in the last days. So if you find yourself, you hear some sound doctrine, you say, I ain't believing that. You know, talk about finances, talk about teaching your children, talk about forgiveness, talk about, you know, loving your spouse, talk about Christ's mission in the world. Hey, I don't want to hear that stuff. What you're doing is you're setting up your own desire. And you're looking for somebody who's going to tell you what you want to hear. And you're susceptible. It says in verse 4, they will turn their ears away from the truth and they'll turn aside to myth. So you got to be careful. If you sense in your own heart just a rising up against sound doctrine, be careful. Ask the Lord to help you. Say, hey, Lord, I'm finding myself, I kind of, you know, my hackles go up when I hear some of this stuff, and I want to be able to yield to your word. You do a work in my heart. Another one in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's what he calls gullible women. I'm not saying anything about that other than but here's what it talks about. It says, in these days, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 8, but I want to pick up verse 5. It says, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way. I love that word. They're worming their way into homes, and they gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So he's talking about these deceptive teachers that are just kind of worming their way. They're trying to find somebody who's gullible. You know, who can I find that I can just have a little bit of control over them? They're gullible. I can work on them and bring them under my control and sway them. Well, that's why you've got to be a man or a woman of God's word. Not easily swayed, not gullible. You know, you can talk to somebody and have a conversation, but say, hey, you know what? What you're saying has some truth to it, but you know, I just see some things that really aren't in line with God's word, and just be strong about it. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as faith is concerned, are rejected. So don't be gullible, man or woman. Another person who's susceptible, infants. Ephesians 4, verse 14, talks about the need to have the ministry of the fivefold ministry is to help equip the saints so they can grow into maturity. He says, so we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. So he describes teaching here like wind blowing through the earth. Winds of doctrine, winds of teaching, and cunning craftiness. And he's saying, if you're an infant, you're going to be tossed back and forth. The wind's going to blow you this way. The wind's going to blow you that way. The wind's going to blow you this way. And so he says, what you need in your life is to move beyond being the infant. Move into that maturity that he talked about in Hebrews 5 and 6. Grow into maturity. Then when the winds come, you're not going to be blown over. You'll see it for what it is. But if you're an infant and you remain as an infant, here comes the wind. You just, like, you got a sail up and it's blowing you everywhere. And it's another reason why if you lead somebody to Christ, they are an infant. They're not an infant because they've refused to hear. They're an infant because they're just born. And so take responsibility and help them. Help guide them. Help them to get a foundation in God's word. Help them to get their feet planted in the word, so that when these winds blow, they're not blown back and forth. It's funny how often I noticed in my life as a pastor over the years, there have been not many times, but a few times where there have been people that have arisen up in the church to, like it said, to draw disciples after themselves. And it's funny how you'll notice it, because these people will start talking, you see them all the time. They're around the new believer, new believer, new believer. What's going on over there? You know, what's happening? And you kind of sneak up on the conversation a little bit. And there was a guy, I remember one time years ago, that came to our church, and I just noticed, it just seemed odd to me. He was a very strong Christian, been a brother for a long time, outspoken individual. He came to the church and he started coming several weeks, and I just noticed after church, every time he's around, he's like, he's got a new Christian here and there. And it just struck me as odd, so I thought, I'm going to go listen in. I kind of catch a little bit of a conversation. And he was basically denying the Trinity, you know, teaching against the Trinity. And so I pulled him into the office and said, listen, you know, I'm glad you're here. We praise God for you. But, you know, we believe in the Trinity. And as long as you're here, this is the flock under our care. As long as you're here, you know, I'm asking you not to teach that. And that was the extent of it. Then next thing I see, we're at church again. He's over there. And I got a hold of him and said, hey, I gave you one warning. This is it. If you say it again, we're going to have to ask you not to come back here. Because you're teaching a false doctrine to the flock that's under our care. And then he wouldn't stop, so we had to ask him to leave. Scripture says, a heretic, which basically means someone causing division after the first and second admonition, reject. And you know, he was given the warning, but he was just intent on drawing disciples after himself. And so it's important for us to really help new believers be able to stand in the Word of God and be able to, you know, help combat some of those things. So be aware of that. And you know that Satan is going to work overtime, especially for new believers, because they're still weak. You get them blown around. So help them to get their feet on the ground. The next thing I can tell you is just to know the Scriptures. You know, we said that again and again tonight. Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 22, verse 28 and 29, you err because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God. In 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16, it tells us that sometimes the Scriptures are hard to understand. How many of you have ever found that to be true? Sometimes the Scriptures are hard to understand, but he says we are not to distort them. If we don't understand them, just set them aside or talk to somebody else, but don't begin to twist them, because it says some people who are unstable, they distort the Scriptures to their own destruction, is what it says here in 2 Peter 3. And then finally, you need to realize that Satan will also try to reason with your mind to reject God's Word. You know, he did it with Adam and Eve. That's in Genesis 3, 4. You will not certainly die. You know, playing with their mind. He did that with Jesus when he was in the wilderness on the temptation. He said, hey, if you are the Son of God, do this or that. Jesus always said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And then Satan even used the Scripture, didn't he? He said, why don't you just jump off that cliff, because it's also written, he will give his angels charge over you. Well, Jesus didn't say, oh, wow, yeah, that's the Word of God, I'm going to go ahead and jump. No, he said it's also written, because he was able to hear, you know, a something out of context, something twisted, something distorted, even though it was couched in Scripture, because he understood the whole counsel of God, and he was able to say, no, this isn't what God wants. So because he knew the Scripture and stood upon it, he was able to stand against Satan's attempts, even at using Scripture to lead him into temptation. So anyhow, that wasn't a lot of discussion. I know it was a controversial topic for discussion, but like I said at the beginning, you know, I don't really have enough background on all these different people to answer specific questions. If you have specific questions about any of these teachers or other things you've read, certainly feel free to ask, and I'd be glad to do the research on them. But what I wanted to give you tonight was really more of how do I keep myself on safe ground and avoid any bad teaching, whether it comes from this guy or that guy or somebody who comes out of the woodwork 3 years from now. You know, because just know that in these days there will be an onslaught of it, and be aware of it. And be men and women of the Word. Right on. Does anybody have any specific questions or anything about? Okay. I mean, and like I said, if you guys ever read books or hear a tape or anything like that and you don't know for sure, obviously you can ask your parents, you can ask your husband, you can ask another brother or sister in Christ, but, I mean, I'm always available. Other elders, I'm sure, would be available to look at it and just give you an opinion about it. So We're here because we love you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I know we do live in a day when there's a lot of deception in the world and people can easily be tossed back and forth. There's false teaching, there's false doctrine, there's things that are very destructive and things that are just differences of opinion. And we understand that. We know that, Lord. I pray you just give us a wise and discerning heart to know how to conduct ourselves in this area, to know how to discuss things that need to be discussed and to avoid foolish questions, but also to be able to speak out strongly about things that really undermine the faith, Lord God. Give us discernment about that. I pray for people at the Alliance Christian Center, Father, you'd help them all to become people of your word who grow in your spirit and grow mature in Christ so that the discernment that they have helps them during these days to be able to discern good from evil. Father, help us to be people of your word, that we seek it, we search it, we study it, and we apply it to our lives, so that even if Satan would come at us with scripture to twist it, to deceive us, Lord God, we would know for certainty that it's his ploy and not your direction. We ask you to help us for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.